Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Hey, shout out. Congratulations, the Washington Nationals. What an exciting seven-game World Series. The first time ever in all the professional sports in a seven-game series that all games were won on the road. Pretty amazing. We got a great doubleheader today, Barry French Jr. He's the CEO of Track Global, the creators of Trazer, the innovative motion analysis, sports performance and rehab, and concussion technology is returning. Then Michael Warrick, PhD. He's the creator of the Youth Club Sports Index, providing the data and insights to take your sports clubs, parents, coaches, and players to optimum levels. Then the sports doctor's in your emails. Let's jump right in. I welcome back Barry French Jr. Barry, welcome to the sports doctor.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate you having me back on. Excited for the conversation.
Great to have you back in the world of sports medicine, testing, analysis, whether we're talking about the best athlete in the world or we're talking about a great grandma where we're trying to prevent falls, or we're dealing with the ability to come back from concussions by identifying cognizant skills, et cetera. Barry is the founder and president of the International Concussion Organization. Barry, give us a background on you and Trazer.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it, Doc. I come from a very unique background and from a family of entrepreneurs from the truest sense of the definition, where for the past 40-plus years we've been developing biomedical technologies, all revolving around some basic core principles. One, Doc, is providing that individual, that patient, that clinician with immediate biofeedback, and that biofeedback needed to be actionable. That data needed to be actionable. And I think today, Doc, we're living in a world that we're being bombarded with data, but what does it really mean and how do we utilize it to ultimately generate the best outcomes for our patients, right? So over the last several decades, we've developed different technologies, and Trazer is one that we've really held close to the chest and built a really successfully growing company around now, and it's a true passion of ours. It's a lifestyle. It's not a job. But I stepped in about 5.5 years ago now as CEO of the company, formed the company in late 2013, around the intellectual property behind Trazer. And so it's really been an exciting and challenging path, but we're at the point now where we've been blessed to have a lot of the world's leaders in some of the different areas you just listed really buy into what we're doing and how we're trying to really truly change the game for everybody from a 5-year-old to 105-year-old.
Well, right.
Really the neuromechanical realm, Doc.
You come from the kinesiology background.
I do.
Motion, muscles, the way the body works, et cetera. You were an athlete yourself. One of the exciting parts, you know, in my working with the figure skating world for pushing 4 decades, I don't want to age myself, and of course my poster boy who grew up here in Naperville, Illinois, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, he was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. And the motion analysis, we did things called dartfish and some of these other, how's the body moving? How can we use these analytic data to prevent injury, which is all anybody cares about? And also then how to enhance performance, a step or two quicker, better training. So I've been excited about when you've been on the show before and some of the different things that you're doing in all of these areas. You know, fall prevention is a gigantic area today. You work with different physical therapy groups. because trades that could be so valuable and having some good feedback on how somebody's functioning. And again, whether you're looking to bring them back with their 90-mile-an-hour fastball,
right,
or I want to take a look and see how is this figure skater coming down from a triple jump, for example,
right,
what difference does orthotics make, which, of course, is my bag as a sports podiatrist. So I'm very excited about what you guys are doing. Talk a little bit about the specifics, imagining the athlete moving around or the patient
sure.
moving around, and you're getting this instant feedback. So whether it's the therapist or the coach or
right.
the athlete themselves, what are you looking to bring to the table in English with
sure.
Trazer?
Yes, I would think that a lot of your audience, Doc, and I know you are incredibly familiar with the idea of you see a lot of companies out there with video therapy, right? And a lot of them are, I think it's a market that's been sort of bombarded with a lot of different technologies to look at video therapy or motion capture. Where we really are unique and what we've really focused in on is the integration. And Doc, you talk about orthotics, right? So that's sort of the foundation of everything we do. Is you're, coming through the floor or the skate or whatever it might be, is the foot. We're taking a very holistic approach and looking at the integration of the brain and body and everything we do. And for decades, Doc, as you know better than anybody, we've always looked at isolated capacities. We looked at the ankle, the knee, the hip, the shoulder. But the reality is that the brain drives everything that we do, right? And so what we're able to do is provide cognitive challenges in conjunction with movement in an analogous environment. So, Doc, you hit the nail on the head. We'll use Alabama football as a great example. They have a 90-inch TV in their training room with the hardware component of our technology mounted underneath. The individual stands in front of that, and we place them on the Alabama football field, for example, the individual. So it's an avatar of themselves. And then we create cognitive challenges while the individual is moving simultaneously. So we're able to look at executive function and cognitive processing.
Yeah, hand-eye coordination.
Sure.
All those
things. So vision,
I got to get
mind,
you to
right,
Louisville.
Doc?
Forget Alabama. I got to get you over to the Cardinals. Everybody
right.
listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back almost 10 years. You could see who was on, what were the topics, an international array of expertise in so many different areas of health, wellness, sports medicine, nutrition. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You could read all sorts of great stuff. Half a dozen articles or so I've written for Lower Extremity Review. And did one of their guest editorials on our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, talking about the teamwork that goes into all aspects. We're talking about one of the big members of the team as we speak. We're also very excited about Twitter. We post a lot of great information besides who on the radio or that information. We have over 30,000 followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter or LinkedIn at SportsDoc. DOC Radio. We're talking with Barry French Jr., the CEO of Track Global, and the whole world of Trazer technology. By the way, Barry, what's the best website people can go to learn all about you and Trazer?
Sure. Yeah, very simple, Doc. It's www.trazer.com, TRAZER.com. And that will give anybody that's listening now a great overview and understanding of the technology and the applications amongst different populations, for example.
Yes. I've been talking about concussions on the Sports Doctor decades.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all sorts of expertise, whether it's the neurosurgeons and the neuropsychiatrists,
sure.
et cetera. I make a big deal on the Sports Doctor about all aspects of what I call the mental game. And the attention you pay, concussion awareness is such a big deal. And the Trazer's capacity to help everybody identify when it might be the safest for return to play. Return to play is such a big deal. Talk about that a little bit.
I'm gonna tell you a brief story around that because I think this will really resonate, and it's in simple English. So I've got a call from about 8 months ago from one of the leading sports neuropsychologists in the country that came out of UPMC, which has one of the best programs on the concussion side in the country, or really in the world. And he goes, Barry, let me make it real easy for you. He said, if you're a math whiz, you're a kid, you're on a math team, you're a math whiz, and you get hit in the head with a ruler and you're concussed, then put them on sedentary neurocognitive testing to return them to play because it's analogous to the sedentary environment they're returning to. So it's a sedentary activity. Go ahead and use sedentary neurocognitive testing. But he said, if you're an athlete, if you're an individual that elevates their heart rate, twists and turns, works the vestibular system, gets blood flow going to the brain, then we need to put that individual in an analogous environment and stress the system in the same way as what they're returning to ensure they're safely ready to return to play. Of course, Doc, you want to do that in a safe environment, in a clinical environment, where we can stress the system when there's no risk of them taking another shot to the head and ultimately having second impact syndrome, for example.
It sounds a extraordinary weapon. The challenge, of course, is how is these kinds of technologies integrated, quote unquote, routinely in our whole sports world, with especially the youth sports world. The reason I co-authored our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which is still on Amazon, by the way, was the epidemic with a capital E of youth sports overuse injuries, both mental and physical. You can't go a week without seeing all sorts of concussion protocol. So how's that challenge going, Barry, getting this kind of important information used besides just in a specialty situation? How's that going?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Doc. You know, you're absolutely right. We were fortunate enough to cut our teeth at some of the highest levels of professional sports in the big-time college programs, for example. And as you can imagine, it's easier for those programs with the resources they have and the number of clinicians they have working with a small number of athletes when it comes to the bigger picture, as you know. We've been very fortunate, especially of late, to be integrated into some of these large hospital organizations, large outpatient PT clinics, that have really significant outreach efforts into youth sports, into the youth programs, into the high schools. And so they're really utilizing the technology into the, going into the community. It's very mobile.
Yeah.
The community pressures, quite a bit of screenings.
The pressures, Barry, are huge. We talk about that a lot. The mental game, again, includes whether it's the pressure on mom and dad, whether it's the pressure on athletes on anywhere near a program like the Tide, Alabama, and that whole overuse world leads to big-time problems. One of the most notorious chapters in my book is called Youth Sports and Drugs. Half these high school, even junior high school and college players are living on over-the-counter anti-inflammatory and pain medicine because the schedules and the demands are so overwhelming. It's actually caused me over the years, Barry, to change the definition of performance-enhancing drugs. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Performance-surviving drugs.
Now
that's what it's all about.
Hitting nail on the head, and I see it every single day, Doc.
Yes. Again, the innovation and the use, the routine use, whether it's in physical therapy clinics and trying to get people back safely to their job and their life, or whether you're talking about, again, the best athletes in the country and the challenge with it being much younger, constant pressure, overuse, again, where we're talking about, I call them the prodigy sports. Think of gymnastics, figure skating, ballet, even tennis, where you have 10, 11, 12-year-olds. We tell them all day, we want you to play other sports. That's great, Doc, but all my daughter wants to do is figure skating. So having the analysis of like what you do in order to come up with programs to try to prevent problems, I see as one of the biggest roles of Trazer. Do you see that way?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the greatest unique aspects of Trazer is that, like I said, we're taking a holistic approach. So we can look at not just degradations in brain function, Doc, but we can look at degradations in that left ankle due to overuse, overtraining, overreaching in that knee or that hip. And so we can detect those things very early on. And like you said, right off the bat, it's all about injury prevention and performance enhancement, right?
And then we combine We combine exactly. Right off the bat, by the way, it's another chapter in the book. It's called Two Essential Exercise Concepts. And those two are, I don't care what your sport is or what your son or daughter's age is or what their level is, the two sport exercise philosophies we want is strengthen those feet and ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Rubber bands are great. Strengthen those feet and ankles and work balance. Work
exactly.
I still have slides of Jim McMahon bouncing on the mini tramp from the 85
yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
players.
Sure.
This is, ironically, it's the same exercise as many times that we might have our 85-year-old great-grandmother
exactly.
doing in order to really work a lot of these systems and the ability to identify weaknesses in that whole chain of command, which is why we sing the foot bones connected to the ankle bones
exactly
ad
right.
nauseum. Half the girls I've seen over decades as a foot specialist are knee problems. Because of foot imbalances and mechanics.
Exactly.
So the ability to pick these up in motion live is a real, real weapon. I think the physical therapists have to love what you're adding to the area. Who are some of the physical therapy groups you work with before we run out of time quickly?
Sure. Yeah, so just real quickly, Doc, to that point, if you can't measure, you can't improve, right? And so the ability to measure on the front end and then to create the most clear and concise care path around that, whether it's performance enhancement, whether it's rehabilitation, that's where it leads into your question in regards to some of these therapists. And again, Dr. Mike Voigt, who's down at the National Hip Institute and at Vanderbilt and Belmont, they're world-renowned. Dr. Bird's clinic there is a world-renowned hip arthroscopy clinic, which is fantastic. A lot of the big groups, Doc, the physicals of the world,
yes,
a gentleman
I've had Dr. the CEO. I've had the CEO
yeah.
of physical on the show, and various people
yeah.
from those particular clinics.
So they're
I think
a big
I
balance
told you
group,
long.
As you know.
Yes, they're called balance centers. They were years ahead in the title. Ha!
They really have been, and I'll
yes.
tell you, they're very
I
progressive
sent them,
on that
part
too.
I sent them one of our sand dune steppers, as a matter of fact.
It really
years
yeah.
Sand simulator. I knew the time would fly with Barry French Jr., the CEO of Track Global. Barry, give me the website again. People can
sure
find
not.
Out about everything you guys are doing.
No, thanks again. It's www.trazer.com, T-R-A-Z-E-R. And again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you having me on, Doc. It's always a pleasure.
T-R-A-Z-E-R,
I wish we had more time.
Right? T-R-A-Z-E-R.
That you got it.
Yeah, you got Barry, it. Thanks so much. Hold on quickly. Everybody will be right back. It's Live, the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Michael Warch. Am I pronouncing it right, Michael?
It's Warwick, like a K.
Warwick, I got it, PhD. Michael is the founder of the Youth Sports Club Index, YSC Index. He's a recognized expert in the world of youth sports, mental skills, development, and performance analytics. Michael, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Give us a quickie background on you and the YSC Index.
Sure. So again, thanks for the opportunity. In terms of myself and my background, I actually have a PhD in organizational psychology and have worked in corporate America for 30 years consulting around areas of typically human resources, management consulting, and as part of that work, looking at concepts like employee engagement and what attracts people to an organization, what keeps them there, how they get engaged in their work, et cetera, and have been doing that work and continue to do that work to this day. And a few years back, being a youth sports parent and just a huge sports fanatic overall, had done some thinking about applying this notion of collecting data, engagement data in a sense, like they do in organizations, specifically a 360-degree feedback type of approach where you're collecting information on your employees, on your customers, in some instances on your suppliers, et cetera, and sort of taking that paradigm and moving it over to the youth sports world where I really saw a need for leadership of these clubs to have information, to have data on which to make decisions about how to operate their clubs and whether they're feeding this information into to their operational plans, their strategy.
Yeah, this is a big deal, Michael. This
oh,
is a
yes.
big deal for decades on the Sports Doctor, continuing as we speak. This has been a huge topic on the Sports Doctor, whether it was the safety challenges of youth sports,
sure.
whether it's the title of my book, hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Whether it's the innumerable guests I have on in this world from all over the world in this tremendous challenge of the fact that, number one, there's an epidemic with a capital E of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. And number two, this is big business.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, the documentary one of my radio guests, Joe Franco, has been working on, is called Youth Sports the Film, the $15 billion a year youth sports industry. It's a very, very big deal. And having information that could go into the betterment of all aspects of youth sports sounds, again, to me, what you guys are all about, to come up with accessible, intelligent help for whether it's the parent, the coach, the team, or the organization is kind of like what you guys are about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's exactly right. To your point about it being big business, you know, the last time I looked at some of the statistics, you're talking about over 40 or 50% of kids between just ages 6 to 12, forget about 12 through, you know, 20 or 18, that are playing organized sports. And so the instrument yeah. itself looks into a couple of areas, including some of those that you touched upon. But, you know, in essence, you're looking at the overall player's experience at the club, how the club is actually managed itself, issues around maybe, you know, workload, if you will, or pace of work, too many practices during the week, or too many games scheduled on the schedule.
It's overkill.
Matches, et cetera.
It's overkill with a capital O times 10. In too many areas, there's a lot of great stuff in youth sports, but there's tremendous overkill regarding schedules, regarding expenses, regarding overuse injuries because of these demands that are so involved. That's why your background in psychology is a big weapon, because I always ask people in the youth sports world, hey, man, how's your sports psychology skills? So that's right. How's your sports psychology skills, Michael?
Yeah, I think that that's a big part of this whole equation. I guess at the end of the day, you're talking about, again, once you know, having information to make these types of decisions, and whether it's where the club is spending its money, how, what types of coaches they're hiring, how they're developing those coaches, the offerings that are made available to club members, and we could be talking about wrestling, and we could be talking about soccer and baseball across, et cetera. There's some universal truths kind of across those sports at the youth club level that most leaders and directors of coaching should pay attention to and should take heed. And one of the ways to collect that information is through something like the YSI Index, which is essentially an online survey that allows the various memberships of the club to join in. Excuse me?
What's the best website for people to find out all about the
Index? Sure. www.ysceindex.com. People can go there. I would encourage them. They could take a look and see the various dimensions that are measured by the tool, how the process takes place.
Yes, give us some examples of the bullet points that you feel when someone says, well, what can you do for my organization?
Sure.
What are some of the areas of real interest? I know you said, of course, preventing injury and then scheduling, et cetera. What are some of the things that you pay big attention to?
Yeah, so we typically see when we're talking to clubs a handful of issues or challenges, and they range. They could be we're experiencing turnover of members. Why is that? People aren't really staying more than a year or two. Our players don't seem to be that engaged. How do we go after new talent or new families? Do I have the appropriate feedback for my coaching staff? Do I have some sort of instrument that would allow me to collect that type of information? And in general, you know, how is our brand? Are we maximizing our allocation of resources, et cetera? So they could, and by the way, they're just hypothesizing. That's the whole point of this. They don't understand or have a way to sort of test those hypotheses as to what's driving some of the challenges that are experiencing. And that's where the tool comes in. I developed it with over 100 subject matter experts across different youth sports, high schools, et cetera, parents, coaches, directors of coaches, coaching, and developed the tool to give clubs an opportunity to have their membership weigh in on these things so that they're not guessing. They can have information to really make decisions on. And so, you know, just as one example, with the soccer club, they were experiencing turnover at a degree that they just weren't too thrilled about. And so I did talk to them about the YSI Index and this notion of systematically collecting data that they can base decisions off of. And the process was fairly simple. I talked to the leadership. I listened to some of the theories that they had regarding what might be driving some of the turnover, reviewed the survey content. By the way, I can customize the tool as well. We talked about some of the demographic items that we might want to have on the survey so that they could look at different cuts of the data, worked with their contact or their communications person, had a meeting, sent out introductory email with the link, had a two-week window where the survey administration takes place, analyzed the data. By the way, the reports are aggregated. There's no individual lines of data, so there's confidentiality. And anonymity as well, analyze the information, develop the reports, and sit with the leadership team and talk about what those challenges are, where they were identified, what is leading to dissatisfaction or some of the challenges that they're experiencing, and then developing recommendations. And by the way, some of the stuff is low-hanging fruit that doesn't take much to fix, and some other things maybe do require a little bit more work and maybe some
I'll
time.
I'll tell you what requires a little more work, Michael, is the whole world of youth sports is off the wall, especially at the highest level, and we don't have to look very far, whether it's the abuse of coaches even, whether it's the craziness of some of the different parents. A year doesn't go by where there isn't those kinds of crazy challenges in the physical side, which we pay also such huge attention to on the Sports Doctor, is a huge problem. And the more talented the kid is, the more the challenges are. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see who the guests were, what were the topics, and you could tune into whatever you would like. You could go over to the area on orthotics and read all about what are the criteria, uses, going into the use of orthotics. You could look at our news and magazine area, an endless array of articles on all sorts of topics. One of my most notorious articles is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We always get some great feedback. I get a lot of guests on Twitter. We have a big following, over 30,000 followers, and there's lots of great sports medicine, health and wellness information that we do publish on Twitter. So you could check us out at SportsDoc, D-O-C, Radio. We're talking with Michael Warrick, PhD, and his exciting organization, the YSC Index, Youth Sports Club Index. Again, his expertise, again, on the challenge of applying not only some of these needs with these organizations, again, whether it's the coaches, whether it's park districts, recreational areas, and whether it's traveling teams and the kinds of challenges. Again, like my first guest, we were talking about the whole physical side of trying to do the only two things anybody cares about. Three, one is have fun. Two is can we prevent injuries? And three is can we enhance performance in some of these different areas? And data really, really helps. And the I would assume that the schools, maybe some feedback with you guys in some areas. Do you work with any of the schools at all?
Yeah, we're actually starting to get into that. Looked at the content of the instrument and are gearing it slightly to high school athletics, where we think that the athletic director would be in a position to really take advantage of these types of data across the various sports teams at the high school. So data could be provided in the survey format by the student athletes as well as their parents and the coaches themselves. And like the head of a club, the athletic director would be in position to leverage this information to make changes to the programming, possibly give feedback to the coaches. And again, some of the actions that someone in that position might take could work across the sports program or in particular at a given, for a given.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about all of this. Michael Warrick will be coming back for another segment to join us. So we're going to be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Michael Warrick. And this is what this guy's all about, the role of sports promoting physical, psychosocial, and achievement-related development with an emphasis on identification and measurement of key drivers behind meaningful, engaging athletic environments. I think that really sums up what we're talking about here, the kinds of challenges at the different levels of youth sports. And what are some of the bigger groupings that you're involved with? Is it like park district or is it club sports or is it?
It's a good question. Typically we're at the club level, although I am having conversations at at some of these organizational entity levels, like U.S. Club Soccer, had some conversations going on with those guys. I've had conversations with a very large junior lacrosse association out on the West Coast, just closed a deal literally a couple of weeks ago with United Premier Soccer League, UPSL, which is a huge league, a relegation and promotion league in soccer in the U.S., the only one, as a matter of fact, has well over 300 teams. I'm working with a bunch of the clubs.
One of the prodigy sports.
Excuse me?
It's one of the prodigy sports, one of the popular infamous chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is called the prodigy sports. And it deals with the particular sports, and soccer's one of them, where figure skating, gymnastics, ballet, where you have young kids and they are dedicated to that one sport, whether right. we like it or not, whether we tell them all day we want them to play other sports, they want to play. There's no sport with more running and athletic movement than soccer, and we start seeing all sorts of challenges in that particular world. And again, I think information is very, very valuable. And here's one of the pearls from the sports doctor for you. The growing heel is one of the biggest areas of irritation. And the sport that has cleats the earliest in kids 5-6 years old is soccer. Mm. It really is. It's right. It's one of my pet peeves on the sports doctor. Now, club sports, Michael, again, are a real challenge because you have sports families, moms and dads, heavily invested.
Yes.
And whatever the sport happens to be, and again, getting all of these, who's the best coach? What about these organizations? What should I look for?
Exactly.
I would imagine you're in the middle of a lot of that.
That's right. And again, look, let's be honest. Everybody's looking for something slightly different. What you and you're looking for your kids versus what I'm looking for my kids might be a little different. At the end of the day, I think it's important to understand.
I'll tell you, we're looking for safety.
Yeah, we want to get back to basics, though, right? We want the experience to be fun. This is why they're doing it, not because they're starting out at 8 years old thinking that they're going to play professional soccer somewhere. It's just that's
a major point.
That's for a very few. And I just had an article published in Soccer Today online that talked about this sort of rush to these gadgets and gadgets and monitors and all kinds of ways to get interesting analytics. And my argument is for getting back to the basics and making sure that we understand.
Yeah, like what's the best shoe for you?
Is your son or daughter a good youth to sports experience? So that's
absolutely
really where the YSI index is geared, again, to kind of provide that data to the leadership of the club to then go ahead and make strategic and operational decisions. And that's kind of where it is at its core.
Yes. I'll be glad to in the future. We'll add some information, whether it's my chapters on choosing the best shoe for your son and daughter to all aspects. What about biomechanics? And one of the most important chapters in my book, which is called The Two Essential Exercise Concepts to be Added. And one is strengthen your feet and ankles. I don't care what the sport is or what their level is.
Right.
The other one is working on balance, because safety with a capital S is such a big deal, especially club sports are serious competition. Parents and coaches already are looking for scholarship players, and this is where I'm glad to hear that you have your psychology background.
Yeah, no, I do work also on the mental side of skills. I've worked on an individual level with student athletes over the years from the age of 12 all the way up into in their early 20s, and professional players, as a matter of fact, that played in the MLS. So I understand that part of it, and it's certainly important. But at the end of the day, at least at the club level, you're talking about the average parent trying to make sure that their kid is having a good time and they're getting value for their dollars. And I think that the YSI can play an important role to clubs to kind of give them a shot to provide that for parents. They certainly can't be everything to everybody, but, they want to take a position. They want to have a philosophy, for instance, around winning and development and socialization. Where do we stand on that? Do we have coaches that are interested in winning at all costs, speaking back to the psychological component to this, or are they educators and they're developing
yes.
the kids in multiple ways?
Are they educated in safety? You know, when my son played Little League, I used to go to the parents in the Little League, talk about whether it was the use of ice, whether it was what's the best shoe for your son or daughter. There's a lot of very, very important principles. We talk about them on the Sports Doctor all the time when it comes to, the reality of the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries from so much overkill. You know that 20%, 15% of Tommy John surgery today is done on adolescents. It's nuts from the overuse. So many times we see that we need constant education, awareness in the sensibility, including, like you said, at young ages, which is having fun. Little League woke up 25 years ago and found out that 40% of these kids didn't want to play anymore. They had had it. It wasn't fun. It was too, we're all familiar with the ranting, raving parents or coaches. And the youth sports has been challenged with this. I call them Svengali coaches in my book, where we've got these over-demanding, overzealous, sometimes dangerously over-demanding coaches, these are the kinds of challenges again. And good information is invaluable, and I'm glad you're adding to the mix, Michael.
Yeah, look, let's be honest. I think it's important that that there's a move towards data, and it doesn't necessarily have to be fancy. I think what's important is that it's consistent. So I encourage my clients to do this measurement work with the Y side, you know, once a year, once every 2 years, so that they can also trend their data. They can see, right? They get some feedback, they make some changes, and they measure again a year later to see if they've
moved
the needle.
Right. So I say, give me 3 to 5 things quickly that I'm measuring. What should I be measuring? Give me a few.
Right. So the tool looks at how the organization or how the club is handling its admin and its resources. So are they providing the necessary resources for the kids? Are they handling the money well, the club? Are they making the dollars stretch that the parents are spending? Coaching, right? Are they hiring the right folks? Are they providing appropriate match and training protocols for the coaches? Are they insisting that coaches provide feedback at least once a season to the players, whether they're wrestlers or soccer players, et cetera? Does the club make sure that the coaches themselves are getting feedback on their performance with a written assessment, for instance? Role definitions, do they exist for board members of a club? Is there a mission, a solid mission and vision statement? Is there a code of conduct? I mean, some of this stuff sounds like real obvious stuff, but you would be
so
surprised.
So important.
You would be surprised.
Code of conduct. Huge. Mm-hmm. Give me again, Michael, quickly, the website. People will find all about you and the index.
Yeah, you bet. www.yscindex.com.
YSC Index.
Yep. One word.
Michael Warrick, thank you so much.
Oh, my
pleasure.
Thank you.
Hold on quickly, Michael. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, flying right back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. We are continuing with the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We preview a couple of upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. If you want to jump in the email world, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Long email. Used to be a website. We never changed it. Some great stuff coming up. Next week, we're going to talk CBD. We're going to talk to one of the pharmaceutical experts in that whole world, Bob Esty. And then Dr. Steve Horowitz is coming back. His Team Safe, this fantastic program for any youth sports organization to make sure they're paying attention to, are they prepared for whatever contingency might be. The following week, we're going to talk a little oral health with oral surgeon Dr. Jim Babiak, and he makes a very, very big deal about his anti-opioid stance. And Steve Thorsen, Steve is the program director at the club I've been at for a million years, Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Center. Gosh, he was on years ago. So we're looking forward to the next upcoming few weeks. Let's see. Rich says, my son is 10 years old. He plays soccer. What about cleats? You know, Rich, we were just talking about that on the show. If he's never had problems with his heels, then I'm not going to make the world's biggest deal out of whether he shouldn't be in cleats. If he has any history of heel problems, because there's a large growth center in the heel, and it's the heel coming together, the heel bone, until the kids are 13, 14, 15 years old. The most common irritation, aggravation in a running, jumping sport like soccer is that heel inflammation. So if that's him, get him into a multi-nub shoe that has the whole bottom of the shoe with multiple nubs or cleats, and not the set of cleats typically in soccer shoes right underneath. When we've got those kinds of persistent problems, we start paying big attention to the foot mechanics of that young boy or girl, and many times intercede with orthotics, tremendously helpful. Ellen, I'm a 45-year-old walker. I had bunion surgery a few years ago. Are orthotics important? Ellen, yes. If the bunion deformity, which is the dislocation of the big toe joint, the development of the bump on the inside of that big toe, we've all seen that. If that mechanically was part of the deformity, then just doing a surgical correction is not optimum. Adding orthotics for proper support and proper alignment of the foot is a step up. So if you ain't in them, then go see the foot doctor who did your surgery and talk about it. I think it's absolutely essential for that to be included. Bob says my daughter's 13 years old. She's a serious figure skater. She's been skating since she's 5 or 6 years old. She skates 5 days a week. She's already doing double jumps. Her knees have been a problem. He asked about orthotics, and yes, Bob, I've been prescribing orthotics and figure skates for pushing 4 decades. I still am, whether it was my a world champion and Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was the 2010 gold medalist. He was in orthotics since he was 10 years old. And one of the most common areas that we use orthotics in figure skates, especially in girls, is knee trouble. It's half the girls I see. The rotation of the knee, the torque on the knee is exaggerated many times with girls or females, wider hips, different mechanics. The great news is orthotics not only will be one of the big weapons to control knee trouble, and of course, being in the proper boot, being fit properly are key factors, blade placement, but orthotics enhance performance, Bob. I've never had a coach call me and say, you know, you made the kid slower, better edging, better stability, more explosiveness. Why? The foot ankle are aligned. The lower leg is aligned. So go see sports podiatry, talk orthotics. It's an art. in figure skates. Cheryl says, I'm 40 years old. My mom had hammer toe surgery when she was 70 years old. I've got the development, but they don't hurt. My daughter's 11 years old. She plays soccer. It looks like her foot's the same. Right, heredity, Cheryl. Not everybody, but it's common to see. Gee, you know, grandma had bunion and hammer toes. Hammer toes are the contraction, the knuckling of the toes. Sometimes as we get older, we develop corns on that hard skin excrescences, which can really hurt on the top of those knuckles. Sometimes it's on the tip of the toes. I recommend, Cheryl, of course, I'm prejudiced, that the earlier you intercede with orthotics on your 12-year-old, the better. The earlier you do it, the better. One of the roles of orthotics is optimum positioning. If you press on the bottom of the balls of your feet, you will see your toes extend. And it's one of the weapons to keep those toes from contracting. It might be can't stop it, but it can really, really help. I have seen these kinds of family surgical concerns years ago during my surgical career. So you are somebody who should really be looking at the proper shoes, try to prevent surgery with you as well as your daughter. Orthotics are one of the biggest weapons. Steve says, if we don't run out of time, my son's 16 years old. He sprained his ankle. It's a grade 2. I don't know if I should be looking at rehab. Yes, you should. All ankle injuries, everybody, should be evaluated and aggressively treated. We don't have to go overboard and get crazy here, but the most injured part of the body still is ankles. And when it's repetitive especially, we could end up with a lifelong problem with a loose ankle joint, with an unstable ankle joint. And we want to therefore identify what the grade of the injury is. And then we want to, understanding that, properly rehabilitate it. I like physical therapy, taking somebody from the injury to getting ready to return to play, whatever the sport happens to be, or the idea, again, of understanding that strengthening the feet and ankles is something we pay huge attention to on The Sports Doctor. I included in my book, it's one of the two essential exercise concepts, my mentor in the whole world of sports medicine, Bob Guida, always made a big deal out of rubber band strengthening for the feet ankles routinely, let alone coming back from injury. There's not enough attention to that. So in a grade 2 already is an active sprain where we might have some swelling at the time, discoloration. We don't have any tearing of ligaments necessarily, but ligaments are sometimes more like taffy than rubber, and they could be stretched and they get a little elongated. So make sure that you have that evaluated. Again, you can go to my website, everybody, sportsdoctorradio.com, and you could check out previous radio shows back over years. So many different experts, so many different areas of expertise. And you could pick and choose what you'd like, listen to whatever you would like, and you could go over to newspaper articles and magazines. I have a few years' worth of articles I used to write monthly for a couple of local newspapers on an endless array of topics, and some great articles I've written, whether it's for Podiatry Management Magazine or whether it is for a Lower Extremity Review magazine, on everything from the types of orthotics used in sports specialty shoes, figure skates, ballet slippers, football or basketball shoes, etc. And again, like I mentioned earlier, the article in high heels, accepting the challenge. You're a woman, you wear high heels, you should be strengthening those ankles, you should be strengthening your core posturally. We're out of time, everybody. It's The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Catch you next week.